Days of every month and is hosted by Felicia King. To contact Felicia, visit her website, qualityplusconsulting.com. This is WGTD. You're listening to Education Matters, the only weekly broadcast in southeastern Wisconsin devoted exclusively to a discussion of local educational issues. Education Matters is co-hosted by Karen Sconsert, an associate professor of education at Carthage College, Jeff Rasmussen, a retired Racine Unified teacher and administrator who currently serves as president of the Racine Area Retired Educators Association, Steve Brown, a retired professor of educational leadership, and former Kenosha Unified School Superintendent Joe Mangi. Now, here's today's Education Matters moderator.
Welcome to the 2021 WGTD Education Matters Kenosha Unified School District School Board Candidates Forum. I'm your host, Karen Sconsert. Welcome to our six candidates, Todd Battle, Valerie Douglas, Brooks Litz, Eric Meadows, Mary Braun Motter, and Todd Price. The Kenosha Unified School Board election will be held Tuesday, April 6th. I will explain the format and the timing of the forum in a moment, but as a matter of full disclosure, I just want to say that I'm also a professor of education at Carthage College in Kenosha and therefore have a lot of experience with various KUSD schools, and that candidate Valerie Douglas is my former student. I'm also a former KUSD parent whose child attended from kindergarten through eighth grade. I no longer live in the district, so I cannot vote for any of these candidates in the forum. I will also note that we are recording this forum from our own homes, so there may be glitches in sound or unexpected visits from pets and children. The format for our program will be as follows. Each candidate will have 30 seconds to introduce her or himself and tell us why you are running and your qualifications for the position of school board member. After that, I will ask a series of questions and each candidate will have 1 minute to answer. I will give a 10-second nonverbal warning as your time is running out. Please adhere to the time limit as well as you can because we have a very tight schedule. The order of candidate answers will rotate with each question, and so each candidate will have a chance to answer first, second, third, and so on. At the end of our time, each candidate will have a chance to give a very brief closing or summary statement. So we'll start with introductions and opening statements. You'll have 30 seconds each, so we're going to start with Mr. Battle.
My name is Todd Battle. I'm a candidate for the school board. I'm just completing my first three-year term on the board. I'm a parent of two middle school students in the district. My wife is also an educator in the district. I'm a product and a supporter of our public schools. My day job is as the president. I serve as the president of the Kenosha Area Business Alliance, and I care deeply about our community and our schools. That's the reason I decided to run for the board again.
Okay, thank you. And next we have Valerie Douglas.
Hey, thanks for the opportunity to speak about my values and vision of a brilliant Kenosha. My name is Valerie Douglas, and while a lot of people will say that they decide to run for local office because they're angry, that's not why I'm running. I'm running for KUSD School Board because I love this city, and I believe that we will achieve great things. Over 30 years in this city has shown me that we share a common goal of wanting to nurture and support the brilliant minds of Kenosha's kids so that they can have a positive impact. We need them to be well-educated, innovative, and thoughtful people so that they can one day take our place and do things better. To achieve that goal, we need bold leadership to guide us through the hard work ahead. I am that bold leader. I'm a veteran educator, a lifelong learner, and an eager volunteer to take on tough tasks. My background in marketing, sales, behavior management, and education equips me with the skills.
That's 30 seconds. Sorry about that.
No worries.
The next one is Brooks Litz.
Hi, I'm Brooks Litz. I'm a retired firefighter from the city of Zion. I have two kids in the KUSD system. I moved here from Illinois approximately 13 years ago when my wife was pregnant with our first child. I'm running for school board because I think our children should always be put first in the decision-making for our schools, what's in the best interest of our students. I also think that during that, we need to take into account community and the taxpayer in our decisions. And I don't think the board has done that every time this year.
Okay. The next person is Eric Meadows.
Hi, my name is Eric Meadows. I'm a candidate for KUSD School Board. I am the father of a high school sophomore here in KUSD. I am running for the school board because I think the school board needs to be more accountable to the people. Families in the community have a right to have a say in how their schools are run, and I want to bring that accountability back to the community where it belongs.
Sorry.
At my day job. Okay.
Go ahead.
My day job, I'm a project manager specializing in process improvements and efficiency building.
Thank you. Just a reminder, candidates, I'm holding up my hand at the 10 second mark. So that just means you have 10 seconds left.
Got it.
Okay. So the next one is Mary Braun Motter.
Hi, I'm Mary Motter, and I am also an incumbent. I won my election at the same time that Todd Battle did. I am a lifelong Kenosha resident. Well, actually, I've been here for 35 years, so not quite lifelong. I have two grandchildren in the district. My five boys also graduated. I am a career educator who retired in 2014, and so I feel that my skills are very useful for the board, and I'd like to continue.
Thank you. And then last, but certainly not least, is Mr. Price.
Hi, I'm Todd Allen Price, and I'm running for the school board because students matter. As a parent and an educator, I bring passion and intellect to everything I do. The task at hand is this: we have to help KUSD move forward to strengthen our teaching and learning community and to ready our teachers and paraprofessionals on the front lines to be ready as more children slowly but steadily return to school. Teachers and curriculum matter, not just because students matter, but because great schools are the heart of our community. And as a board member, I will engage that community to do what's right for Kenosha. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Okay, so we're moving on to questions. And for the questions, we're going in order where, and it's going to change the first person that answers each question so the others have time to think about it. You know, so we'll hopefully that'll be fair to everyone. So our first person that's going to answer the question is Valerie Douglas. So the question is, and this will be the same for everyone, what are your budget priorities, especially given the crunch created by COVID-related expenses?
Oh, excellent question to start with. So my budget priorities center around making sure that we're allocating our resources adequately for all of our buildings. And I don't just mean fiscal resources, I mean our physical and our human resources as well. In order to tackle the achievement gap, it's important that we make sure that kids have equitable access to materials as well as equitable access to adults who can support them. So this includes in strengthening our mentorship programs, as well as reaching out to our community members and getting them involved, because we know that it takes a village to adequately raise our children.
Okay, thank you. The next one is Brooks Litz. Same question.
I'm sorry. Okay.
There you go.
The biggest allocation we should be putting forth with our budget is to close the achievement gap that has happened prior to COVID, but even during COVID, it's grown even more. We need to have outside sources, maybe allocate some of the money from our community fund to tutoring in facilities that have high speed internet that kids don't have access to. That's a big problem, is the technology issues that kids are having with the high speed. Any sort of curriculum we do should not be cost prohibited to our students. So by opening up community centers, such as possibly the senior center or using the Boys and Girls Club, which we already give money to both those, as possible tutoring locations for our students, that could actually help a lot of students that are struggling right now.
Okay, thank you. The next person to answer the question about the budget is Eric Meadows.
This is an excellent question. Last year, we saw a property tax increase across Kenosha County of between 9% and 10%. That was largely in part to plug a budget hole in KUSD due to declining enrollment. And I think we need to start answering or asking the question is, if we're asking more money from the community, are we increasing the value of our education? I think we need to be very careful and do cost-benefit analysis in all of the decisions that we made to make sure that we are spending the money as efficiently as possible. My background as a project manager specializing in process improvements will help ensure that we are spending the money as efficiently and effectively as possible, while making sure that the teachers are well equipped with all of the resources they need so they don't have to tap into their own wallets to do so.
Thank you very much. The next is Mary Motter.
Hi, that is a wonderful question. I guess I would challenge the 10% increase because I don't believe it was that high. One thing that I have learned over the past 3 years is that many of the budget items, much of our money in KUSD is tied up in salaries and benefits. And I am not positive the exact, about 85% or more. So there's really not that huge amount of money to be able to to parse. So what we're going to have this next year is we're going to have a lot of grant money. We're going to have a lot of COVID assistance money from the American Rescue Plan, and we're going to have to use that as efficiently as possible. One thing I'm really happy about is $800,000, a one-time grant that we got last year that's going to be used for our summer school program for the tutoring and things that we need.
Okay, thank you very much. And we have Mr. Price is the next person to answer this.
I agree with everything everybody just said. I would put the funds into mental health support first. Mm-hmm. I think that we need to hire more clinical psychologists. We need to support our students and our teachers with social and caseworkers. And we need to invite folks from the community that can help our kids going forward, because they're going to have a eustress beyond the distress that they've had when they come back into the schools. They will be elated and excited, but we're going to need help. And so I would put the funds into both the mental health and also into the curriculum development, because I concur entirely. We need much better access to the internet, but that starts with having good curriculum to go on the internet too, so that we have options. I'll stop there.
Thank you. And then Mr. Battle, you're the last one to answer this particular question.
Yep. So about 80 to 85% of KUSD's budget is in salary and benefits. Thanks. So if you're going to talk about a $300 million budget and how you use that resource, you just got to be wise with how you distribute salary and benefits. One of the things we've done in the past 3 years was change the health benefit plan. Not a totally popular decision, but the board made it. Saved the district on an annual basis about $10 million a year. So those are the types of decisions that have to be made. Those are the types of things the board has to deliberate on. I think the other thing brought up was one of the reasons our budget is challenged is declining enrollment. So the district had 22,000 students 5 or 6 years ago. That enrollment count is now, sub 20,000. So when you lose 2,000 students, it affects your state revenue sharing. So the priority would be, stop the decline in enrollment and then, allocate the health and benefit and pay and benefit resources wisely.
Okay, thank you. You all did a great job keeping to the time that you had, so I appreciate that. Our next question, we're going to start with Mr. Litz. The teacher and administrator population in KUSD does not reflect the racial and ethnic diversity of the community or the schools. Do you think the school board should do anything about this mismatch? And if so, what?
Sorry, almost muted again. yes, absolutely. We need to have a reflection of our community. Are we able to get it right away? I don't know. What we can do in the meantime is actually bring in mentors from the community, successful people of color coming into the community, talk into the schools and talking what they did gain success and how their school experience helped them. But we can also go to historically Black colleges and try to recruit teachers from there. And we have Carthage, we have Parkside, we have a lot of colleges around here that we could try to recruit. Our best recruiters are our teachers, encouraging our students to grow up to be teachers. And that starts in our classrooms. I'll be done. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. So the next person to answer that is Mr. Meadows.
Thank you for the question. I think having a diverse teacher population is a positive. I think people need role models from a lot of different people. That said, I don't think we should force in a racial requirements for staff allocations, but I think we can do more to encourage people from minority populations to consider teaching as a valid career in the future. And that requires help from outside of KUSD. It requires help from community organizations, from private entities to help boost the interest and the confidence in that as a career for our disadvantaged populations.
Okay, thank you very much. And the next person to answer that one is Mary Motter.
Great question. We've been getting a lot of students coming to the board talking about the fact that students of color, I should say, talking about the fact that until they reached high school, they didn't see people like themselves and that they felt it would really help to have more teachers of color. One of the things that the board has been working on and is implementing now is a Grow Your Own program where we have students senior in high school, and they're able to take education classes and they're able to learn about teaching and they're able to get college credit at the same time. So by the time they graduate, they'll have some credits under their belt, they'll know about teaching, and hopefully a number of these will be students of color. These students will be invested in the community, have roots in the community, and know that they're ready to come out of college to teach.
Okay, thank you very much. Just a reminder, when I hold up my hand, that just means you have 10 seconds left. Okay, Mr. Price.
Yes, Mary stole my thunder. Grow your own, I absolutely support it. We have that in Chicagoland, and you know, it does successfully bring students in where they are at, our BIPOC, Black, Indigenous, people of color, but also students from very humble backgrounds that might not otherwise be able to afford to go to a class A school. We have these programs, and the issue is not just recruiting, because we want to recruit great teachers, but we also want to retain them. And it's about how we message and in Kenosha make folks realize that this is a great place to be and work at. I hope some of my students will come up to Kenosha and see it as a place to raise a family. And getting the students in as student teachers, as volunteers, any way we can do that, we probably have several folks in Kenosha that could step up to the plate and participate and make it a home.
Okay, thank you very much. And next is Mr. Battle.
Yeah, I absolutely think this is an issue. When you look at the makeup of our student body, more than half of our students are students of color. There's not as many teachers and administrators of color. It is an issue for us. We need to make improvements. I don't think it can be mandatory or it can be a requirement. But I do think there are a lot of things we can do with our hiring practices, with our recruitment. As an example, the National Football League has a rule they refer to as the Rooney Rule. When you're going to hire somebody for a position, you make sure at least that you're interviewing diverse candidates. I think there are a lot of ways to do this. And I think probably the main point I would make here is we have to take it seriously. And instead of just kind of feeling like we're checking the box to say we're doing diversity, we have to be sincere and authentic about wanting to make some changes in the district.
Okay, thank you. And then the final person to answer this is Valerie Douglas.
Right. So this is sort of a multifaceted issue because it's not simply making sure that we have processes in place throughout hiring, but it's, are we getting enough of those applications in the first place? And people talk about districts and people talk about the climate and the culture of our districts. And unfortunately, there aren't always positive things for people to say, particularly people of color, to say about our district. And so steps that the district is already taking, like the REI training that looks at implicit bias, is an important step for us to take, because those lessons that teachers are picking up now, they can apply to their curriculum in fall, and we can really start off the 2021 school year on a stronger footing where we are more racially equitable in our buildings, and that will ultimately translate into a more representative population in our teaching and administrative staff.
Okay, thank you. So again, I have to compliment you all on sticking with the time frame. So this is Karen Sconzert, your Education Matters host for this Kenosha Unified School District Candidate Forum. We are here with KUSD School Board candidates Todd Battle, Valerie Douglas, Brooks Litz, Eric Meadows, Mary Braun Motter, and Todd Price. For question three, Mr. Meadows will be the first to answer this. What do you view as the primary strengths and weaknesses of Kenosha Unified School District?
That's a great question. I moved my family to Wisconsin about 10 years ago when my daughter was in elementary school, and we've had an extremely positive experience at KUSD. We find the teachers at KUSD to be extremely competent and very caring. We've been very happy with our experience at KUSD. I've got a music background. I studied in college, and I was especially excited to find out about the emphasis that KUSD puts on the arts and the music programs. We have world-class music programs in KUSD, which I think we need to continue because that helps give our kids a very well-rounded education.
Okay, thank you very much. The next person to answer this one is Mary Braun Motter.
This is actually a pretty easy question for me, but of course I'm biased. Our strength is our teachers. Our strength is our teaching staff, not just our teachers, but our educational assistants. And I worked with so many wonderful teachers over the course of 30 years. And I'm so proud of how they have stepped up this year. Our weakness is that we're a very large school system, the third largest in the state. And because of that, there's certain bureaucracies. Sometimes it seems like it's sort of impersonal, and that causes some people to feel they're not being listened to. So I think that would be our weakness.
Okay, thank you very much. Next is Todd Price.
I gotta concur that our teachers are fabulous. They've done great by my sons, and my sons are sporty. They like the sports, so their coaches are awesome. The music, it's great to have teachers that are so, you know, passionate about their discipline and their work. And we just need to support them. I do think one of the challenges, and maybe it's why a lot of folks here are running for this position today, sometimes I find we're a little bit old-fashioned in the way we do things, and I think we could do things a little bit more creatively, thinking outside of the box. But I'll end with a positive note, and I participate on one of these committees. We do have a committee structure that I would like to see more folks participate in. Not all school districts have that. If we make those committees stronger, I think that will make KUSD stronger.
Okay, thank you. Next is Mr. Battle.
Yeah, with respect to strengths, I just think Kenosha Unified has a lot to offer. The depth and breadth of programs is pretty significant. A lot of different academic opportunities. What you don't find in the big comprehensive public schools, there are lots of choice and charter options that are instrumentalities of KUSD. So the breadth of programming is pretty significant. And then you kind of wrap in the extracurricular stuff, the academics, the sports, the arts, the music. And then you kind of put all that together, and then you've got this really caring community of teachers and administrators that really are invested in these kids and their success. So I think that's the strength of this district. It's a very big district, but it's got lots of opportunities and lots of people that care about kids. The challenge to me, I think, is a little bit along. Our district is getting more and more diverse. The majority of the students there are students of color. And if you look at our statistics, there is still a academic achievement gap. Students of color do not do as well in our school system as Caucasian students do. So that would be the challenge.
Okay, thank you. And then Valerie Douglas.
This is where it gets tricky with having so many fantastically minded colleagues with me who go ahead and mention these kind of ideas. But so where our strengths lie in our really high quality educators and our great extracurricular programs, including our theater program that actually debuts all of the programming for some national shows, we've also got a really strong community that cares. But I would say that our challenge is that we don't always find a way to engage with our community in a way that is meaningful for them. So in order to increase community involvement, we're going to have to build this sort of sense of district-wide community where we're all kind of united behind the same goal. And we all, and every community member, whether we have children in the district or not, that we all feel like we have a stake in the district, because we do.
Okay, thank you. And then the final person to answer this question about strengths and weaknesses of KUSD is Mr. Litz.
how everything's been answered. Actually, I love the curriculum that we have, especially in the high school programs. It's like looking at a college catalog for classes. We also have a lot of great opportunities for people to not only go on to college through that program, those programs, but also go into the trades through those programs, which are high paying. And aside from teachers and a bunch of other professions, the trades are lacking in involvement. So maybe steering people that way. As far as weaknesses, the budget's a big one. We want to do so much, but we only have a certain amount. I think we should be focusing on more grants. I talked with the administration earlier this week and suggested hiring a grant writer. So I'm hoping that will come through and give us some more money.
Okay, thank you. That once again, you're sticking right with the time limit. So I'm really proud of you all. I have to put on my teacher hat and say that. Okay, so question four, and we'll start with Mary Motter for this one. How much time have you spent in KUSD schools and which ones? And how did these experiences motivate you to run for school board?
I was a teacher at McKinley Middle School. I spent 5 years there. I was a teacher at Bowen Middle School and spent another 5 years, spent time there. I also taught at Southport Elementary. After I retired, actually, I was also the president of the teachers union for 3 years. And in that capacity, I visited every single school twice. So six visits for each school over the course of the 3 years I was there. I'm also a member of Peace Learning Circles. And as part of that, I work with Joe Mangi and a group of wonderful people, including Todd Price's wife, Ginger. And we have visited probably 10 or 12 different elementary schools. And I've done that in the past few years. I also do a lot of DJing for elementary schools, a lot of volunteer.
Okay, thank you. So the next one to answer that question is Mr. Price.
It's really, really delightful to be able to visit some of the schools. Of course, I've vicariously experienced childhood again by following my kids around in Greveno and Roosevelt, Lincoln, and to a lesser degree, Tremper. But all of these schools have wonderful attributes, and I have participated in the after-school programs, have talked with lots of teachers. I would say one of the things that stood out for me was in getting to go on field trips and do some observations of students doing work in classrooms, especially in Roosevelt. Roosevelt has had an international baccalaureate program, and they have a world languages, at least until recently, program. And it just struck me about how every school could be, opening the kids' eyes up to the rest of the world by embracing some of these international and global standards, frankly. So I am keenly interested and will always step up and visit and hope to visit every school as a school board member.
All right, thank you. The next person is Todd Battle.
Yeah, I'm not an educator. And so, you know, my exposure or visits to schools are limited to my kids' activities or being a mentor in the school system. So, you know, I'm not going to tout off, you know, I've been to this school or that school. What I would say, I don't necessarily know that that's a prerequisite or that's what the board should be doing. The board's job is to work with the administration and the superintendent to have a fair and reasonable budget, to set priorities, to set policy, and then hold people accountable. You know, it's not necessarily my job as a board member to be in the classroom day in and day out. And in fact, I think it's not. So I've had some exposure to schools in a limited capacity with my own kids and my wife, and other times I've volunteered in the schools, but on a day-to-day basis, I'm not in the schools, nor do I think I need to be a good board member.
Okay, thank you. Next is Ms. Douglas.
Right, so I've got a fairly large experience in the district. Not only did I graduate from Ruther class of 2001, and I was in Roosevelt during their magnet program in the late 90s, but then my time as a long-term substitute took me all over the district. I spent 6 months in the Opportunity Center at Bullen. I did visually impaired support at Stoker, Lance, and Indian Trail. I had long-term placements at both Frank Elementary and Bradford, and just a host of dailies and shorter spots all over. And what that showed me is it really gave me a good eye into who is in our district, because, you know, regardless of your position in the city or on the board or administration, how can you possibly know who we're serving if you don't go to the buildings? And so I've learned that we all have very much a common goal here, and that we are all looking forward to having a good educational experience where we all feel supported. And so that's what this experience in the district, in the buildings, has given me.
Okay, thank you. And then Mr. Litz, you're next. And you're muted.
Oh, okay, yep, got it there. Keep forgetting. Like Mr. Battle, I've had very limited exposure just because I don't get around to all the schools. I've been to Prairie Lane, where my son currently goes. I've also been to Mahone, where another son of mine goes. Indian Trails, and to, I believe, Reuther, Lance, for various band or drama things. But as far as actually being in the schools that much, aside from parent-teacher conferences and such, not too much, aside from every now and then I also did help out in the classroom with certain things with my kids.
Okay, thank you. And Mr. Meadows.
Thanks for the question. I think the purpose of any board of directors is not to tell a district or the organization how to run their business or their organization. The purpose of the board is to make sure that what the district is doing makes sense to the average person in the community who hires them. The school board is hired and chosen by the community at large. So my job is going to be to make sure that whatever KUSD is doing makes sense. I've had exposure to my daughter's schools. I'm not an educator either, but she attended Pleasant Prairie Elementary School, Mahone, and she now attends Indian Trail.
Okay, thank you. And this is Karen Sconzer, your Education Matters host for this Kenosha Unified School District Candidate Forum. We are here with KUSD School Board candidates Todd Battle, Valerie Douglas, Brooks Litz, Eric Meadows, Mary Braun Motter, and Todd Price. Question number five will begin with Todd Price as the first person to answer it. Do you agree with the decisions made by the current school board on COVID-19 policies?
So I knew this one was coming. I want to first of all thank the school board for hanging in there this last year. I think it must have been the toughest year ever, perhaps, for our community. So I'm not really going to go through and relitigate their decisions. I will say this, though, that right now it's pretty clear that our children, our youngest children, really need to be in the schools to play with their friends. And they need their friends more than they need an iPad, no doubt about it. And we're doing everything we can as a family, my family and others. My kids went to school the whole time, but they're also scouts. They're healthcare conscious and they practice social distancing, but a lot of kids haven't. And it's going to be a real challenge getting them back into the school, getting them reoriented. So we just have to be patient and kind to each other as we go through getting them back in. And lastly, our high schoolers and middle schoolers, they'll do better with the online education. We'll have to leave it up to that for right now.
Okay. And the next person to answer this one is Todd Battle.
Yep, so I'm on that board that's made these decisions. I haven't completely agreed with all of them. I think we had a Return 2020 plan that we wanted to put in place in the fall. I think that plan adequately addressed the vast majority of the issues around COVID. I think as a board, we should have stuck to the plan from day one. We didn't. We deviated multiple times. For a variety of reasons. I would have preferred we stick to the plan. That said, I do applaud our administrators and teaching staff. This has been an incredibly tough year. I think they are doing the best they can and given the circumstances, but I do not think virtual learning is a great substitute for in-person learning. So I am, to the extent we can do it safely, I am a fan of having our schools be open to in-person learning and we'll continue to support that.
Thank you very much. The next person to answer that is Valerie Douglas.
Yeah, so it was not an easy decision, no matter what scale you were trying to make this at. And being the third largest district, there's a lot of different perspectives that needed to be included in this decision. And I do feel that the board could have done a better job of soliciting and then honoring that feedback, particularly from staff members as well, because community members were definitely well represented in this discussion. But the people that we relied on most kind of were almost felt like an afterthought. And so in moving forward, I think it's really important that we keep in mind those lessons that we learned when we were developing the plan over the summer and then implementing it through the fall and then making those changes and recognizing that if we continue to make the same mistakes that we did, that we're going to dig ourselves a deeper hole and we need to move forward. Our kids deserve to be in good buildings, to be with caring teachers, and we all deserve whatever modicum of a traditional school setting we can develop.
Okay, thank you. And the next person to answer that is Brooks Litz.
Yeah, I completely agreed with it back in the spring when no one knew what was going on. Everything shut down and it was easier for the parents and the businesses to close down and be at home with their kids. Come fall, the board was a little wishy-washy on things and confused parents. That's why we lost some of our enrollment. A lot of people went off to the private schools or homeschooling. And the confusion that the board had left lost us enrollment. I think the hybrid program was a Band-Aid. It wasn't supposed to last this long. The duration's been way too long. Back in November, when they decided to go completely virtual, they didn't take into account how it would affect the parents and the businesses in our community. And now new CDC guidelines came out, and I hope they follow them.
Okay, thank you. The next person is Mr. Meadows.
Thanks for the question. This is the very reason I decided to run for the school board this year. I watched what was happening over the last summer with the multiple votes that happened about the Return 2020 plan. The district pulled the families of Kenosha, and the vast majority of them decided that they wanted to be in person. They tried to honor that ultimately after the third vote, which I agreed with, but as been stated before, they've been whipped back and forth many times. I think kids thrive in a consistent, predictable environment, and we've taken that away from them. I think we have focused on one of the many harms that our kids face at the expense of others. COVID is something to worry about, yes, but is it more dangerous than the mental health crisis that has been inflicted on all of our students this year? That's going to have a much longer lasting of impact on our kids than COVID ever did.
Okay, thank you. And the last person to answer that is Mary Motter.
Yeah, I was on the board that made the decisions that open and close the schools this year, along with Todd. And we agreed on a number of things. The third largest school district had in-person learning as well as an option for virtual. That was very tricky. I thought we did have a good plan. It had some glitches. We had to make some modifications, but we did our best. It was hardest on the teachers, I think, and they really rose to the occasion, I felt. It's really easy to look and in hindsight what we would have done. I think the important thing is to look at what we're going to do this summer, in-person learning. We're going to be having small classes. We're going to having tutorials. We're going to be investing a lot of money to bring those students back up to speed.
Okay, thank you all very much. The final question that we have will be done in straight alphabetical order, starting with Mr. Battle. So there is a nationwide teacher shortage, particularly in certain areas like science and special education. How do you retain highly qualified staff so they don't get poached by other school districts?
Yeah, KUSD, I mean, we have to make ourselves a district of choice. I think we talked earlier when we talked about the strengths of the school district, the depth and the breadth of the program, the size and the scope of the school district, the culture and the family environment that's there. Those are advantages. We have to have competitive pay and benefits. I would say the teaching profession right now is one that over the last several years has been beat up. I think we've got to get back to celebrating our teaching staff and supporting them. And, you know, making the environment one that they want to work in and come to work every day and be excited about.
Okay. Ms. Douglas?
So if we hope to increase the number of teachers that are eventually going into the pool, of course, we're going to have to make sure that our teachers that our kids see every day are uplifted by the community, are valued by the community. So there's where that climate and culture piece comes back into play again. It's also important to note, too, that many of our special education teachers are, I don't necessarily want to say overloaded, but they're overworked, right? They care so deeply about their kids and they have so many tasks and responsibilities that they have to take care of that when they're not adequately supported or when they have extra kids coming onto their caseload, like it spreads them far too thin. And I filled in for many special education teachers and I understand the stress there. And so certainly in going forward, we need to make sure that education is properly funded, particularly special education, and that at all levels, we are uplifting our teachers and we are really modeling what we need from our community.
Okay, thank you. And the next person is Mr. Litz.
Yeah, that's a difficult question because, as you said, a teacher shortage, people retiring. We do have an opportunity with all the tutors that we have right now coming in and all our ESPs helping out to encourage them to go further into school and maybe do some paid training. As far as retention, there's benefits we could probably look at giving the teachers that it really is minimal cost to the district that they don't already have, which in return could help them in many different ways. It's very difficult. Recruitment's the biggest problem every business is having right now, and retention.
Okay, thank you. The next person to answer this one is Mr. Meadows.
Thank you for the question. I think this is a very important one. I think in order to attract the best talent, we have to make it an attractive place to work. I think many have talked about that already. Many teachers are finding teaching more and more difficult these days simply because parenting styles at home have changed. A lot of parents have shifted the responsibility to make sure that their kids are educated just by dropping them off at the door at the school. And I think in order for that to change, we need to somehow get more and more parents involved in their school so they become a more of a stakeholder in their children's education. We can do that many ways by encouraging in classroom volunteering, increasing the number of people that take part in the curriculum review or other committees that the district has set up. The more people are involved in making the decisions, the more emphasis and the more priority they will make the district. And that will make it a better working environment for our teachers and make them want to stay.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Motter, sorry.
No problem. As Todd Battle pointed out, competitive pay and benefits are vital. But I also am going to go back to the Grow Your Own program that KUSD has instituted, because one of the issues is that teaching is no longer a four-year graduate program. Especially if you're going to be a special education teacher, it's more like 4 years, 5 years, and then you have 6 months of student teaching for no pay. So by having the Grow Your Own program and allowing seniors to get some credits and being able to get a taste of teaching while they're still in high school, we save them some money. We give them a taste of what teaching looks like. And with two colleges in our own, you know, backyard here, we should be able to recruit and retain teachers.
Thank you very much. And the last person to answer this question is Todd Price.
So the teaching profession that I work in needs, frankly, to open up to more applicants. We need to make it easier for folks that want to get in to become teachers to get in. Then we need to get them some incentives so that they'll stay in and not go into debt while they're learning to become teachers. I know there's a lot of talented folks out there that would make great teachers, but the cost is so prohibitive for just getting into the profession. I would, again, support that Grow Your Own, but support, you know, alternative pathways that are still rigorous and provide the opportunity for teachers to become excellent in their craft. I much appreciate, I'll give a shout out to Todd Battle, that we shouldn't be bashing teachers. We really shouldn't have a culture that really blames a teachers for everything. Our teachers are doing the best they can. We should be calling from the state to stop shortchanging our school districts. I do that as an advocate so that our local school districts aren't just strapped. And we can make the community a great place to live and grow if we do those things.
Thank you for listening to the Education Matters Kenosha Unified School District Candidate Forum on WGTDFM.org. Thank you to Kenosha School Board candidates Todd Battle, Valerie Douglas, Brooks Litz, Eric Meadows, Mary Braun Motter, and Todd Price. We appreciate your willingness to serve, and thanks to our listeners for tuning in.
You've been listening to Education Matters, heard each Saturday morning at 10:30 on WGTD-HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. Archive programs are available on our website, WGTD.org, and you're invited to continue the discussion on the Education Matters Facebook page.